Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America, hour number two. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Oh, we had such a good time on the show last night. Doug and Donna came in. They performed the Overnight America theme song. I feel like I can play it over and over and over. Oh, yeah. So good.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling alright. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Oh, so good. So good! Oh, I love it. All right, this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the impeachment hearing. It's funny how CBS News, not this hour, but last hour, brought up the impeachment hearing and the way that they covered it in the news. I hope Wayne's listening, because I think Wayne would have enjoyed the way CBS brought it up. Maybe I'll have to grab it from last hour so we can hear their package deal. But before we do that, I wanted to start off with something that happened yesterday that's pretty funny. Producer Mike, I could really use your ear on this. You have a very fine ear.
Well,
you can pick up things. I don't know. You pick up things other people don't pick up. So yesterday on MSNBC, a representative from California, Eric Swalwell, was on talking to Chris Matthews. And he had a moment where, you know, something happened. Some people caught it and went to social media. I want to see if you could, with your super duper good ear, pick up what happened. Now, some people say it's a little slip up. Some people say, no, it didn't happen. And other people say, oh, no, definitely, I heard it. So this will be from yesterday on MSNBC. Tell me if you hear anything there in what you've heard.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
All right. Now, you might have to turn your headphones up because it's very subtle in that. So please listen very carefully. I'll play it again. In case you missed it the first time, this is Representative Eric Swalwell, California Democrat representative.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Okay. Did you pick up on that little thing that the microphone caught?
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of times people will try and like cough or project more to try and hide it when they know that some flatulence may be on the way. And sure enough, I think he was louder when it was the word cheat, I believe. He really exaggerated it right when it was time to
he paused.
Pass gas.
Now, So I think it's pretty clear exactly what was going on there. What you don't see is because on the video itself, you have to watch the video. He leans over about 45 degrees when he does that. I'm just kidding. He doesn't do that. I wish he did that, but he makes a very intentional pause, and you can see in his eyes, he knows that he thought it was going to be something that wouldn't catch on the microphone, and probably in his mind, while he's talking, he's thinking to himself, oh, I wonder if anyone heard that. Oh, I wonder if anyone heard that. No, there's no way that picked up on the microphone. These microphones only pick up voices. But he's in a hall where there's echoes everywhere. It's like an echo chamber.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Well, so he paused like it was someone else saying a comment. This is embarrassing. I know that other people handle this differently. Some people will say, I'm not going to acknowledge it. I'm just going to keep on going forward, and it's going to be up to you to bring it up. Do you think social media gave him a pass on this?
Absolutely not. Social media has never given a pass to anyone ever.
Yep.
And with the powers of our government and the technology in Washington, D.C., don't you think there's some infrared cameras that could have picked up a change of temperature in the room?
I'm sure if they had those things turned on, there would have been a huge change of temperature. There was, you could hear that from across the hall, I'm assuming. That was, I don't know why he thought that would be one of those silent ones.
Well, that's when you say, man, this leather chair is noisy.
Oh, that was someone's seeing eye dog. They just walked by. You know, he's trying to find a way to blame it on the dog. Joe Pags is a talk show host. He tweeted this out. I think it was pretty funny. Took Eric Swalwell blasting one on live TV to bring the nation together, if only for a moment. There's a couple of ways you can handle this. It's not fun when it happens to you. I'm sure it could be embarrassing. I think the best thing to do is just don't acknowledge it ever happened. Just let it be. And if someone else brings it up, you just say, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. Plead the fifth. Too bad that didn't happen during the actual hearings, during the questioning. That would have been something else. You know, we're going to talk about the impeachment coming up. And if you want to see that clip online, just do a quick search for Eric Swalwell. And I think everyone has had embarrassing moments. To me, as an adult, they're less embarrassing. When I was younger, when you're thinking high school age and you're trying to impress the girls, oh boy, that is something that'll live with you for the rest of high school. You'll be known as that guy. So you got to be very careful how you handle that situation. But then you get older and you stop caring as much. I kind of like the simple bliss in getting older and not caring as much personally. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You know, I was talking to Kevin Killeen earlier today, and he said, you should do a segment on this. And I'm thinking, I don't really know what people would call in and say about it, honestly. Like, what would they... I would be very afraid to find out what the listeners of this radio program would call in to talk about their experiences, to try to, you know, give a little bit of, hey, we've all been there, to Representative Eric Swalwell. I don't like him personally. Like, you know, I'm not like a fan of his work in Congress or whatever. You know, I don't know him personally by any means, but, you know, when I see the things in the clips on TV, he doesn't really impress me all that much. So something like this, it's fun to make fun of, I'm sure, but I think it's happened to everyone. Oh, I'm afraid. I don't even know if we should open the phone lines for this. Whew. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons, on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Okie dokie. I wanted to put a call out for Wayne. I was wondering if he was listening, and there he is. Because Wayne's the one that called in the other day, was talking about, hey, let's listen closely to the news and see how they report it. And how about that? Wayne was listening. What's going on, Wayne?
Hey, you called.
All right. So did you hear CBS News at the start of the 8 o'clock hour?
No, because I quit listening to that, but I did hear that replayed yesterday.
Which one replayed?
Stillwell or what his name is?
Oh, yeah, you heard that on MSNBC. So this is something different, actually. So I'm going to play for you and everyone else so they can listen to the CBS news that happened at the start of the 8 o'clock hour. This is the first newscast that we had on the show tonight. And I want you to listen very closely, Wayne, and tell me what you think of how CBS handled the impeachment hearing coverage from today. Are you ready?
Oh, okay.
Okay, take a listen, because I think you'll like it. Oh, hold on a second. I have to back it up here a second. I got to make sure I get it at the right spot. All right, here it is.
Jim Shenaby, today was the third day of public hearings in the House impeachment probe, with Democrats struggling to find that smoking gun linking the president to an impeachable offense. CBS's Steve Dorsey.
Former U.S. envoy to Ukraine Ambassador Kurt Volker told the House Intelligence Committee he was never part of any effort to pressure Ukraine into investigations to help President Trump in exchange for military aid.
I did not know of any linkage
But two White House officials told the Democratic-led committee earlier in the day they were concerned when the president brought it up in his July 25th call with Ukraine. Another former White House aide has said he wasn't concerned anything illegal was discussed. And top committee Republican Devin Nunes sees no evidence of wrongdoing.
It's obvious the Democrats are trying to topple the president solely because they despise him.
Steve Dorsey, CBS News.
All right, so that was the start, the very first story at the 8 o'clock hour CBS. Wayne, what did you think of that?
Well, that was pretty accurate. Yeah. I still understood the MSNBC one better.
You understood that one better. Well, that's the thing. They started, and the lead was Democrats struggling to find the smoking gun. That's a great lead.
That is, that's a great lead. But I just go back a minute to the other one. I understood that more than what comes out of his mouth normally. Okay?
All right. You understood that. Thank you, Wayne. Good to hear from you.
Okay, you got anything else on CBS?
What?
I'll have to start listening to them again.
Well, I'm just saying, you got to give them a chance. And I know that there's people that criticize different news agencies, which is absolutely warranted. There's reasons to be criticizing news agencies. I'm just saying, once you, I wanted to point out that you can get this too. Yeah, you got to give them credit when credit is due, and then you can give criticism where criticism's due.
Well, the anchor there will be fired tonight, probably.
I don't think so. All right, thanks, Wayne. Good to hear from you.
Bye.
The anchor will be fired tonight. No. So that was it. I like that lead, struggling to find the smoking gun, because after all of the testimony and the hours that were spent, I think most people are looking at it and saying the exact same thing. You're not finding any smoking gun. What you're finding is that there were people that were concerned, but people that didn't have any evidence of wrongdoing. So, which is very important to note that when they vote on this to take this, if they do, to impeachment, the Senate is certainly going to vote it down. It's not going to go through, and they're not going to remove the president this way. And I think what it shows to you is we're looking at a circus that says if there are people who are concerned and that do not like the character of President Trump, it doesn't matter if there's evidence presented or at least a smoking gun. It's not necessary if you want to go through that process. That's what they're setting up as the precedent anymore. This is a dangerous precedent. So I wanted to play a couple of clips for you. And, you know, Devin Nunes, he brought up something about the media. Oh, was this good? Let me see if I can find this real quick. He wanted to cover the media as well. And I think Wayne would approach something like this and appreciate something like this. But when I'm starting to play these clips, I got some questions for you. The viewership of these impeachment hearings have been steadily dropping. Less and less people have been watching. I'm going to ask you right now, is anyone still left watching this testimony? Are you watching it like you did day one? Have you dropped off watching it, or are you still as engaged? I'm curious. Maybe we can do our own type of ratings poll. I want to know and kind of get a pulse of the listenership here. Are you even still watching this? I know you're paying attention to it, but are you still watching it? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Here's what Nunes brought up today.
The media, of course, are free to act as Democrat puppets. And they're free to lurch from the Russia hoax to the Ukraine hoax at the direction of their puppet masters. But they cannot reasonably expect to do so without alienating half the country who voted for the president they're trying to expel. Americans have learned to recognize fake news when they see it. And if the mainstream press won't give it to them straight, they'll go elsewhere to find it, which is exactly what the American people are doing.
Putting the media on blast. And plus, he had a couple of really good moments, Devin Nunes. Here's another part.
If you watched the impeachment hearings last week, you may have noticed a disconnect between what you actually saw and the mainstream media accounts describing it. When you saw three diplomats who dislike President Trump's Ukraine policy discussing secondhand and third-hand conversations about their objections with the Trump policy. Meanwhile, they admitted they had not talked to the president about these matters, and they were unable to identify any crime or impeachable offense the president committed. But what you read in the press were accounts of shocking, damning, and explosive testimony that fully supports the Democrats' accusations. If these accounts have a familiar ring, it's because this is the same preposterous reporting the media offered for 3 years on the Russian hoax.
Oh, I think there's a lot of parallels and probably the same outcome when it comes to the parallels. You know, one of the interesting parts that happened earlier today happens to revolve around someone that was criticized. And, you know, the thing that's a little bit interesting about this, CNN goes crazy because they said, how dare they criticize Vindman? How dare they criticize him? The whole point of doing this and going through these exercises and cross-examining and asking questions is to make sure their testimony can stand up. If you can't be scrutinized for the things that you are saying, then how qualified is that person to say it? And the fact that people are upset because they ask tough questions is absolutely ridiculous. Very hypocritical. So there was a couple of parts where that really shined. CNN just went on an absolute hate fest because of something like this. Let me play this for you real quick. So Devin Nunes was asking some questions to Vindman. And part of the questions started off with a little bit of tension. Like, let me play this part real quick.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified in the deposition that you did not know who the whistleblower was or is.
I do not know who the whistleblower is. That is.
So how is it possible for you to name these people and then out the whistleblower?
Per the advice of my counsel, I've been advised not to answer specific questions about members of the intelligence community.
You know, they're setting up just how shady this is. They say, oh, I don't know who the whistleblower is. I don't know. You know, that's a I Am Spartacus moment where they're all going to stand up, but I'm the whistleblower in order to try to save the identity of the whistleblower that everyone knows who it is. And it's pretty ridiculous because they keep bringing up these ideas. Why are you not allowed to say this certain name? As if the name said three times out loud, like Beetlejuice, the thing's going to pop up and just wreak havoc on these testimonies. So they say, we don't know who the whistleblower is, but we're not allowed to say his name. Wait a minute. That's kind of weird. If you didn't know who the whistleblower is, then why would you be afraid to say the person's name? You know, that's been brought up a couple of times in the hearings today. That's absolutely ridiculous. And Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, right at the start there, as you heard, a little snippy. That's Lieutenant Colonel to you. Chris Stewart brought that up, just how weird that is.
Very quickly, I'm curious, when Ranking Member Nunes referred to you as Mr. Vindman, you quickly corrected him and wanted to be called Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. Do you always insist on civilians calling you by your rank?
Mr. Stewart, Representative Stewart,
I thought that was an excellent moment. So there were some really good moments today. Let me take some of your calls at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Oh, Brad Young calling in. This is a treat. Hi, Brad.
Hey, good evening, sir.
Yes, what's going on?
Well, I don't know if you heard, there was an announcement today from the Justice Department that they're changing the rules regarding the Witness Protection Program.
Mm-hmm.
And from now on, all individuals who are in the Witness Protection Program will be stored in the impeachment hearings because no one's watching.
It would be a great place, hiding in plain sight.
They can hide them in the impeachment hearings, put them in the gallery. They can put them up among the congressmen. And since no one's watching, they'll be completely safe.
Yeah, I would think that would be a great place for it. It's dropped off so far. And there wasn't a ton of people to watch to begin with, considering that they were just praising these millions of people watching. It was over a six-hour period. I'm going to guess if you were to show, Frosty the Snowman reruns in Charlie Brown over that six-hour period, you'd probably get more viewers than the impeachment hearings.
I was thinking, actually, ShamWow infomercials. Would probably get higher ratings.
Yeah, and watch me saw this boat in half. Give me one of those, too. Yeah, that would draw some. Flex Seal.
Flex Seal, exactly. Yep.
How great is this? Let me ask you this as someone that spent some time in court. Do you love how they are just putting the Democrats in a corner right now when it comes to the questioning of this whistleblower? They all say, we don't know who the whistleblower is, but then they go crazy if they ask a question about someone that's the suspected whistleblower, and then they say, oh, I'm not allowed to say that, but I don't know who that person is anyway.
Well, it's so contradictory. I mean, if they know who it is, they could say it, but they say, I can't say it, but I don't know who it is anyway. So there's not much that you can say if you don't know it, I mean, except for politicians. But But my point being is that the whole thing is a sham, as you and I have talked about before, because the federal whistleblower statute only prohibits the executive branch from intimidating whistleblowers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't prevent the legislative branch from announcing their name. It doesn't prevent the media from announcing the name. All of this is just this, what's called fiction that people are making up. Mm-hmm. None of this is required by law. And to me, it's just comical that everyone is so sacrosanct about, oh, we can't say his name, you know, like the name of God in the Old Testament. We have to say Yahweh because we can't say his name. You can say his name. People choose not to, and that's fine, but it doesn't violate the law.
All right, let me ask this to Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who's there and says, I don't know who the whistleblower is. And even you have, Adam Schiff saying, I don't know who the whistleblower is. Are they under oath? And when they say that under oath, and we could find and know for sure they know who the whistleblower is. Is that something that could get them in trouble?
Well, it could, but don't forget, to say that I don't know means with absolute certainty. So even if we found out later on that they suspected who it might be, I mean, that still would not amount to perjury.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're talking about is perjury. And as we found out during the Clinton impeachment, perjury is actually a crime. You know, at least it does violate some degree of criminal code, and so if we find out that Lieutenant Colonel, I want to make sure I say that properly, Lieutenant Colonel, if he did know, in fact, if he had conversations with the whistleblower, then yeah, he could be susceptible for perjury if he actually had face-to-face contact or any contact.
I'm just curious on that. All right, Brad Young, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
My pleasure. Good night, sir.
Oh, that's so cool. I love Brad Young. So Ron was on the line, and I think he had to go. But listen, we're going to keep the phone lines, and I want to take some of your calls after the break. So, Ron, if you want to call back in, we'll take you first. The number is 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And Brad Young said it, if you are part of witness protection right about now, if you were in the background of these impeachment hearings, no one would know you're there. That's maybe the safest place for you to be hiding. And I'm thinking that once the ratings for today come out, there's going to be a huge drop off in viewership. And I'm just curious for you. I know you're paying attention, but have you lost all interest in watching live testimony? I'm curious if you're still watching it or not. We'll take some of your calls coming up, and let's do a quick poll. I would love to find out your habits on this, if it's more or less reading it online or watching it as it happens. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals. This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Let's see what Eric Swalwell has to say about today's impeachment hearings. Oh, boy, he tried to hide that one, didn't he? We're not allowed to make those jokes? Is it just too lowbrow? He was on MSNBC and couldn't hold it, I guess. That's become a viral clip. Everyone was talking about it. I thought it was funny. What am I not? So producer Mike, that's how I know that I may have gone too far. When producer Mike shakes his head at me, I know that things may have traveled a little bit in the wrong direction. But then again, this is what the overnights are all about, isn't it? I guess I could play that clip over and over and over again. Yeah, for a full hour? Then everyone would be able to tell for sure that they hate me in this show.
Yeah, let's. I can edit it and put it on loop. We can just listen to it for 60 minutes.
Love the idea. Get on it. That was Eric Swalwell, and I can ramp it up like an album. I'd be able to treat it like, you know, rock radio. And coming up next, more Eric Swalwell, representative in California. Democrat, just by the way, in case you wanted to know. All right, so I wanted to play this because right before the break, I mentioned with Brad Young about how they've been questioning and how they've been told, oh, we're not allowed to say that name. Oh, that's funny. So you don't know who the whistleblower is, but you're afraid to say a certain name, huh? Well, that's fascinating. So this is interesting. Jim Jordan, listen to how he puts, Adam Schiff back in the corner. Like, you know how they say nobody puts baby in the corner? Jim Jordan put baby in the corner.
Colonel Vindman, there's another thing Mr. Morrison told us in his deposition. He said he was not concerned about the call itself. He said there was nothing illegal or improper on the call, but he was concerned about the call leaking, the contents of the call leaking. He said this. He was concerned how it would play out in Washington's polarized environment, how the contents would be used in Washington's political process. Mr. Morrison was right.
Excuse me, Mr. Jordan, could I get a page?
Page 44.
All right, so he sets this up, and he says, people that were able to hear the call, listen to the call, there's only a certain amount of people. So how did this call get leaked? Okay, how did it get leaked? There's only a certain amount of people on the call, and you know who were on the call.
I only read out, outside of the NSC, two individuals.
Two individuals.
Das Kent and one other person.
And you're not willing to tell us who that other individual is?
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
The gentleman will suspend, counsel.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask you to enforce the rule with regard to the disclosure, with regard to the intelligence officer.
Thank you, counsel.
All right, listen to how Jim Jordan handles this. So they said there's only four people that could have known about that call. And you heard the one, Vindman, who was testifying, and he mentions two other names. And then there was one other person. Well, that's kind of interesting. Who could it be? And then they say, point of order, point of order. You're not allowed to say that other name who was on this government call. I wonder why.
Counsel, you know, as I indicated before, this committee will not be used to out the whistleblower. That same
Mr. Chairman,
necessity
of protecting
the whistleblower.
Can you first stop the time so I don't lose the time?
Will persist. You are recognized again, Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Chairman, I don't see how this is outing the whistleblower. The witness has testified in his deposition that he doesn't know who the whistleblower is. You have said, even though no one believes you, you have said you don't know who the whistleblower is. So how is this outing the whistleblower to find out who this individual is?
Mr. Jordan, this is your time for questioning. You can use it any way you like, but your question should be addressed to the witness.
I'd like to...
And your question should not be addressed to trying to out the whistleblower.
Well, okay. Colonel Vindman.
All right. So you can see how he's using this pretty solid logic in this point. You don't know who the whistleblower is, but somehow you don't want me to say who this other person on the call is. Well, that's interesting. So if you think that other person on the call was the whistleblower, then that means you know who the whistleblower is. That means you may be, I don't know, purposely misleading or lying about this sort of thing over and over and over and over again. Okay, under oath. Oh, that's interesting. So this is what's happening. So they're being instructed to say, we don't know who the whistleblower is in order to help mask the identity of this other person that most people already know. And it's been out there and it's been reported over and over again. So when you see the representative saying, oh, we don't know who it is, no one's believing you. And that's exactly what Jim Jordan was able to point out there. I thought that was fantastic the way that he handled that. It just kind of goes to show you. All right, there's a couple of other moments too. Representative Ratcliffe, here, listen to this.
The problem is, in an impeachment inquiry that the Speaker of the House says is all about bribery, where bribery is the impeachable offense, no witness has used the word bribery to describe President Trump's conduct.
Oh.
None of them. These aren't all of the deposition transcripts. These are just the 10 that have been released. 6 weeks of witness interviews in this impeachment inquiry, hundreds of hours of testimony, thousands of questions asked, thousands of answers given. The number of times that witnesses have been asked any question about whether or not President Trump's conduct constituted bribery before Ambassador Yovanovitch was asked by my colleague, Congressman Stewart, last Thursday, is zero. The number of times witnesses have used the word bribery or bribe to describe President Trump's conduct in the last 6 weeks of this inquiry is zero. In fact, in these 3,500 pages of sworn deposition testimony and just these 10 transcripts released thus far, the word bribery appears in these 3,500 pages exactly one time. And ironically, it appears not in a description of President Trump's alleged conduct. It appears in a description of Vice President Biden's alleged conduct.
Ooh. So let's just recap here. They say this is going to be the thing, and they try to keep up this. Just use the term witch hunt. That's the best way to phrase what's going on here. All of the testimonies, all of the depositions, all of the witnesses, in the end, no smoking gun. No actual person willing to go up there and say they have firsthand knowledge of bribery. It's all people who are concerned. So what the Democrats are trying to pull right now is trying to remove the president from office because they have a concern, not a crime. They have a concern. That is very troubling. And that's the game they're playing. And that's the game they want to play in 2020. What do you think is going to happen when this failure continues? Do you think it's going to reflect positively or negatively? And a lot of people have looked back and they've said during the Bill Clinton stage of impeachment, it only made him stronger. It made the Democrats stronger. And it was able to garner more support for their candidates that way. Well, they said if you try to pull this and you don't have any evidence or you don't have anything that you can bring forward that's of relevancy or relevant, then you're going to do the same thing to the Republicans. You're going to make them stronger. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. I don't know if the Democrats realize that, but that's what we're seeing. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. President Trump had a couple of comments about it today. Maybe I'll play those. I'd rather hear your comments. Honestly, is anyone still watching these testimonies on television? I'm going to guess that, what was it, over a six-hour time frame, over six networks, there was 11 million viewers. Fox News had the most. I'm going to guess that number dips down to viewers that were watching this on the one of the major news networks. I'm just going to throw a crazy number out there, a low number. Instead of it being 11 million from the last check, I'm going to say it's down to like five. I'm going to say it's less than half as where it was before. I think so many people are disinterested at this point. There's nothing in there that they've been able to watch that they've been able to say, oh, yep, this is so important. This is so historic. This is so relevant. They're done. I think most people have tuned out, and rightfully so. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. We're going to take some of your calls, and I really think people have dropped off. They're not watching this anymore. I think most of the American public, though they may not be able to put their finger on it, they realize that this is for show. Not necessarily historic, but for show. I see the Blues won tonight. Blues gonna win. All right. Good to see that. They beat Tampa Bay, and just down the road from us here, I saw that Pat Maroon was back in town with Tampa Bay. That was kind of cool. All right, let's take a couple of your calls, and let's go to Terry in Illinois. Hi, Terry.
Hey, how you doing, Ryan?
Good.
First, I want to thank you for the snippets that you play. Sometimes it's hard to find those, and I appreciate those. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Comment I wanted to make is, I've been in management almost my entire career, and I've been to a lot of classes. And one of the things they teach you in those classes is that if you want to negotiate with somebody, you ask them for a favor. So, maybe what Trump was doing was so innocent is just asking a favor to try to befriend, a foreign country, for something down the road. So I guess, I guess I'm having difficulty with finding what he did was so wrong. And I don't know if that's a common theme with Americans, but it certainly is with me.
Yeah, I think when you listen and read the transcript, it's very difficult. I mean, you would have to go into it already with your mind made up that there was some sort of wrongdoing there, because you really have to look into it with your own sort of lens, like, your certain colored lens on to determine that was the absolute only interpretation of what was going on there. And it's funny how so many people have come up and come down during these testimonies, none of which have been able to say they've actually seen any direct bribery, any direct quid pro quo. They haven't. It's just all their own interpretation that they brought concern. So if he said it, there certainly isn't anything to back up that he actually did it. So if that's the case, that's what they're trying to remove him on, and that's pretty flimsy.
I personally think if you're trying to remove him on those grounds, it's pretty flimsy to begin with. Because I just don't see where there's anything that's catastrophically wrong with doing that. I don't know that I would ask a business associate to come over and paint my house if he wanted my business, but I certainly wouldn't have any problem saying, hey, I got a friend looking for a job. If you got something, give me a call.
Okay, there you go, Terry. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Jeff, who's calling in. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, this circus has been going on since 2015, if nobody knows it. whenever they first heard that Trump was going to run for president. That's when it really started. Well, the taxpayer's been keeping these jokers up for all that time.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
And I'm tired of paying my tax money to putting food on their table when they're not doing a dadgum thing now. And I've had it. I mean, something's got to be done. They owe us money.
To keep
this. God, they do. They owe us
money. They keep it up. Yeah, it's kind of sad to see. And I know that they feel like this is going to warrant something, but it's the same thing that they did. They're just fishing and fishing and fishing and hoping they catch something. They're not going into it with any sort of evidence or proof that they're going to be able to convict. They're not. Well, they're just doing this as a fishing exposition, and they keep doing it over and over again.
Hell, is nobody running the country. Trump's having to do it by himself.
Ah, all right. Good to hear from you, Jeff. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Bye. No, very good. Let's go to Dane, who's in Illinois. What's going on, Dane?
I'm okay, Brian. How about yourself?
Doing good.
Hey, listen, I've listened to this thing for a couple of years. I don't really watch that much TV, but I've been listening for 2 or 3 days, and I just think it's the same old thing over and over again, day after day. So
over and over.
I'd rather listen to your show 24 hours a day.
Yeah, 24/7.
That's right.
Yeah, I should do that. Maybe I should ask the networks if they're interested in just rebroadcasting this program in its place.
Well, I see that you decided to go early now. It's going on the 8 o'clock hour now.
I like it. And since we don't have the Cardinals and they're in the off season, it gives me the opportunity to start a little bit early after Sports Open Line. And I love
love listening to your show, and your producer, he's hilarious, but we love it. We got to keep him.
You love producer Mike. Yeah, he loves hearing things like that, too. He's over there, and he definitely heard you say that, so you made his night.
Well, y'all have a good night, and I'll be talking to y'all later.
Sounds good, Dane. Thanks. Wow, that's cool. Well, I got ourselves another producer Mike fan that's out there. This is so funny. You mentioned this yesterday. Right in passing, when Doug and Donna were heading out, we were talking about, and Doug said, you know what I find funny is when people call in and they don't know your name, they'll call you something else or they'll ask you what your name is. And producer Mike's like, you know what? He says my name 80 times a show, it seems like, and still some people don't know who they just spoke to on the phone before they went on the air. Yep, that happens. It's funny. Dane pointed it out there. Love your producer. All right, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to KMOX.com. Make it your favorite podcast. Make it your favorite show on there. Tell your friends about it. Tell your family about it. Stand up in church and well, maybe that's not the most appropriate place to talk about it. But if you go on the street corner and you want to put up a sign that says, listen to Overnight America, I'd be okay with that, as long as you're legally doing so. We'll take a couple of more of your calls that may be left over, and AccuWeather's going to be coming up, too. We'll get the long-range forecast coming up on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.